So we'll do the verse number 19. Verse number 19. Tanaham dvishata kruran. Sansareshu naradhaman. Kshipam yajastram ashubhan. Asureshweva yonishu. So he says, what happens? You know, you want to know, well, what's wrong with, you know, having desire or lust? What happens? What's the problem? Why should I not? The whole world is doing it. Why shouldn't I do it? So Krishna says, tan aham. Tan, these people who not only in this past verse, but in the past few weeks, we have talked about those people. Dvishata. Dvishata means these hateful individuals. Kruran. These hateful, cruel individuals. Not only they are hateful and cruel, but they should samsareshu naradhaman. Among all the people in the world, these are the adama. These are the worst kind of individuals. So such people who are bad, who are hateful, who are cruel, who are wicked, what do? I hear Krishna, when he says I, he does not mean I as Krishna. What he talks about is the law of karma. It is the law of karma. So what happens to these people? He says, I kshipami, I throw them. Ajasram shubham, forever in ashubhan asurishu yonishu, in the wombs of asuras, demons. And ashubhan means the evil. So he says, I throw them in the evil womb of asuras. So when he says I, it does not mean that there is a god sitting somewhere. And, you know, he's, when you approach him with the, you know, he's sitting in the seat of judgment and you approach him and he'll say, okay, you are good, you are bad, you go to heaven, you go to hell. No, they themselves go to these wombs which are evil. So what does that mean? We'll talk about that. So we say that people say, you know, my stars are like that. I am a Leo, so I have to be dominant. You know, my constitution is like that. Some people say, I am depressed. You know why? Because my doctor told me that serotonin and all these things. So I cannot be helped. So people go with the idea, oh, I am a sinner. You know, I am a born sinner. I cannot be helped. They say, nobody is a sinner. Nobody is depressed. Nobody is evil. We all have the potential to be good. If you accept the fact, I am useless, you know, I cannot improve, then you will never improve. And that's what a lot of people say. You know, it's in my stars. Buddha used to say, I hate astrology. Buddha made that comment because once you read in that, you know, that is my nature. And then you get so convinced that I'm not going to change. So the point is that nothing is written in your stars. Nothing is in your destiny. Nothing is in your fate. You have your own destiny in your hand. You have your fate. How did you create this destiny you have today? Wherever you are, you created that because of your past actions. Because of your past actions, maybe, you know, you became a human. And then even among humans, you know, the fact that you are sitting in the Gita class, that means you must have done some good karmas to even hear Swami Chinmayananda's commentary and Swami Chinmayananda's words. So my present is created by my past actions. It is not Chitragupta who is sitting there somewhere and judging or he's counting. Nothing like that. It is me, I, who create my own destiny based on my past actions. And if I'm suffering today, I must have done something wrong. If I'm happy today, I must have done something right. There is nobody to blame. You cannot blame God or your husband or your child or your boss or your neighbor or your brother-in-law. Nobody you can blame. Only you, yourself, and I. And so that is the understanding. That's why he says, when he says, I put them in evil wombs, it does not mean he puts them. what he says, I just make sure the law of karma gets enforced. And in one commentary I was reading very beautifully, it says, he says, you know, there is a place called Bardo. I might have mentioned that. But Bardo is a zone where souls go after they have suffered heaven and hell and all. Then they go to this junction, this distribution center. They, Buddhists call it Bardo, B-A-R-D-O. It's very interesting. And there you have to wait based on your karmas and based on your vasanas for a suitable body to become available. And then once a suitable, it may be 10 years, it may be 1,000 years. You know, time there has no value. So after that suitable time has passed, your heaven and hell you have undergone, then you are waiting for a suitable body and then you enter suitable womb. So a person who has been very selfish, cruel and wicked and dies with those thoughts, he will say, now let me find a womb where the mother and father are selfish, cruel and wicked so I can continue my thoughts. It's not that a person who dies a criminal, a crook, will suddenly become a Mahatma in the next life. He won't. He will continue his journey of evil and he will go there and look for a particular womb where he can continue. Just as a person who loves music and really wants to be a musician and is a great musician and wants to continue his music, he couldn't reach that highest level. When he goes to Bardo, he will say, let me find a womb where my mother and father are musicians, where they encourage my music talent. Even Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, that nobody's life is wasted. Arjuna asks him, he says, what happens if I die without reaching you? He says, don't worry, Arjuna, you will be born in the house of yogis in the next life, so where you can continue. So we find that even prominent people, they go downhill. They are in such high positions and they get involved in lust or get involved in some things and they lose all their life. Why? Because they have not changed their thoughts. You have to change your thoughts to change your actions. You consciously have to change the way you think. And the thoughts are what goes with you. That's why they say, no, you cannot take it with you. You know, there is a famous line, you cannot take it with you. You cannot take your house, your car, your husband, your wife, your children, your money, power, nothing you can take with you. The only thing you take with you are your thoughts. And the thoughts will bring you back exactly where you left. If you left very angry, if you left very selfish, you will continue to be angry and selfish until you get the right knowledge and change the direction of your life. Actually, there is a very interesting commentary I was reading. Trees are called karma daru, which means trees of karma. In Buddhism, they talk about it. It's a very interesting concept. They say that when a soul leaves, so there is a path that she travels, the soul travels on this path. And as it is leaving, there are trees on both sides. And so the soul has to go through these trees. So all her thoughts, all good and bad thoughts, become like bats and they go and sit on the trees. And so now the soul is gone. And as the after the soul has gone through its life, when it walks back, the bats and all come back into is carrying a backpack. Each one of us is given a backpack. And so the thoughts come and back into your backpack and then you continue your journey. So life does not end at death. Death is just a break. It's just a stop. It's just a, death is not the end. Life only ends when you realize the truth. Until you realize, until you become one with God, you go through life again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatre shainam. He says again and again you will go through unless you change your thoughts, unless you change how you think about people. Do you think of people with love and compassion or you do think of people with arrogance or anger or hatred or jealousy? But thoughts cannot be changed that easily. You know why? Because of vasanas. Because each and every one of us has deep samskaras. They call them deep vasanas, which we have accumulated over many lifetimes. So thoughts are only the very superficial manifestation of vasanas, just as waves are only the superficial manifestation of the deep ocean. Ocean is thousands of miles deep, but waves are very superficial. So thoughts in the mind and intellect are very superficial manifestations of vasanas, my tendencies. So to change them is not that easy. You cannot suddenly, as I said, you know, you were born, you died an angry person, you will not be born a happy person, you will remain angry. But when you have the right knowledge, and next week we'll talk about it, in the human birth only, you have the ability to change your thoughts and to change your vasanas. And how do we change our vasanas? As we said, there are hundreds of lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes. It's so deep, they are so ingrained in us that the vasanas are very difficult to change. So they say that, first of all, you have to consciously change your habits. Instead of saying, you know, this is my habit, as I said in the beginning, astrology. Oh, I'm always like that. I cannot change. Or I'm a sinner. No, I am a divine being. I am God incarnate. Every one of us has God in us. None of us is born sinner. That's why a child is very innocent. You know, the child is very innocent. But then as the child grows, it accumulates negativity. So, first of all, decide and resolve. Secondly, they say you have to go within and analyze and see. I'm missing the word. But go within and analyze and see what are my defects, what are my introspect. You introspect, you go within and you analyze and you find out what is it that I am doing wrong. Where am I? Have I gone wrong? Which of these values I don't have? The 26 I should have and all the others I shouldn't have. And look at this as a mirror. Bhagavad Gita should be looked at it as a mirror, not as most of us look at Bhagavad Gita. You know what? My husband has all these qualities. You know, we all do that. I think he should come to this Gita class. I should bring him. No, do I have these qualities? That is the whole idea of Bhagavad Gita, is not to look for or my neighbor or my friend. Do I have these qualities? So Bhagavad Gita is a mirror. It shows you what you really are. So that is why it says, think about that. And then how do you change your vasanas? First of all, by accepting who I am. Secondly, by making a conscious, sustained effort. It should be conscious and continuous effort, not only on Sundays, you know, after I go from the Gita class, I should be good. Other 6 days, no. Whatever we study in the Bhagavad Gita should apply with us, should be carried. Otherwise, it is no use to listen unless I'm going to change my life. And then thirdly, they say meditation. Meditation is one of the most powerful ways to change your vasanas, to destroy. That's why in the Chinmaya mission, meditation is always encouraged, always very heavily, you know, promoted. Because in meditation, even if you read the commentaries of Eknath Ishwaran, you read the commentaries of any Mahatma, they will all say you must meditate. Because in meditation, when your mind becomes still, you go deeper and deeper within to that level of consciousness. And in that meditation, you can actually destroy the vasanas very fast. That's why people, when you talk to seasoned meditators, they will tell you that when they start meditation, first their thoughts are really bothering them. You know, their mind runs a lot. And so then slowly they practice quietening the mind. And then when they go deeper, instead of experiencing joy, they experience actually sorrow or they experience stress. Why? Because they have come in contact with the deep vasanas, the deep tendencies. And they say, oh my God, is my mind full of such negativity and anger? A lot of them actually go through a lot of stress and depression. But the gurus tell them, don't worry. The fact that you are encountering them is a good sign. And you will only encounter this vasanas when you are ready. See, the Bhagwan, the consciousness, protects us. When you are mentally and physically ready to encounter, then you will go deep, encounter these vasanas, and then you can fight them. Then you can overcome them. So that is how you can slowly, you know, reform your life, change the way you think. And that's, we find example like, you know, that Ratnakar, he became Valmiki. he was a, you know, dacoit, he was killing so many people. But when he meets Naradji, he meets the right guru and starts meditating, he becomes a great saint who wrote the whole Ramayana in Sanskrit. So the point is that once you go deep, and how did he change? With meditation. Ratnakar started meditating. He started chanting the name of Lord, and he started sitting in meditation to the point where he sat for years and an anthill grew around him. That's why he got the name Valmiki. Valmiki means anthill. So an anthill grew around him. That deep in meditation he went, and all his vasanas were burnt. And then finally, when Naradji came back after so many years, he said, I remember I had left this Ratnakar here, and then he saw this anthill, and he said, removes the ants, and he finds the man sitting underneath, and he wakes him up and says, and that's how he became Valmiki. So the point is that vasanas or negative tendencies can be burnt, but through consistent effort, through meditation. We do have a meditation class. We do every Thursday evening. So the point is that none of us is condemned to be evil. We all have the potential to be good. All we have to do is bring out the divine qualities. Divine qualities are lying hidden, they're lying covered. But if you make a conscious effort, and remember, the law of karma applies, nobody can escape it. And that's what the essence of this beautiful verse is, that what happens to such people, if they have lived an evil life, their next life, they will be born in evil wombs. They will be born to mothers and fathers who will from childhood teach them how to be angry, how to be selfish. So the solution is in our hand. It is not God, or it is not destiny, or it is not prarabdha. It is me, myself, and I. So that is the essence of this verse. Next week, we'll go into more detail about how to elevate the life. I'll spend a lot of time talking about chakras. And everybody is interested in knowing about the seven chakras. So we'll go into more detail about all the lower and higher chakras and how one can evolve and all that. So we'll go into more. I was hoping to do it today, but anyway, I'm so glad, you know, people have questions and comments. That's nice. So there's no rush. There's no hurry to finish it. And then also Krishna will tell us how to get out of this trap. Krishna will tell us in more detail. Any questions, any comments? We have maybe a couple of minutes. Yes.
So how do you explain good kids to the bad parents and
law of karmas? Yeah, but then see what happened is that even though there are good kids, and if the parents are bad, then he must have done some karmas to deserve those kind of parents. And maybe his childhood sometimes is very harsh, and that is required for purification. See, nothing happens without a reason. It is for his betterment. See, the child needed that harsh environment. This total consciousness never makes mistakes. God never makes mistakes. He never does anything wrong. One way of looking at sorrow is that it is my karmas. Second, a better way to look at sorrow is that this was required for me to improve. And we have talked many times that I'm in this hospital and this divine doctor wants me to get well. So he's giving me a little bit of sorrow so that I like you give your patient an injection, which is painful, but you do it because the patient will get well. Or the child will get well. So similarly, I'm getting these little injections so that the Lord may improve me. So nothing happens for bad. Everything is for good. Yeah. Somebody else had a question.
Sometimes what happens when people begin to do hatha yoga, they start crying, or they leave a class and they'll just get that sense of depression and
yes.
Tears form. Is that the same thing?
Right. Because they contact their deepest vasanas. And there may be a lot of sorrow, a lot of, you know, sadness, and also a lot of negativity. And sometimes they wonder that, how can I have such evil thoughts? Even some very nice people, Eknath Ishwaran, in his commentary, he's a very saintly individual. He said, when I started meditating and when I went deep, I said, how can I have such thoughts? Because from childhood, he was a very sweet child, and his grandmother brought him up. But he said, I experienced some of the most violent thoughts in my depth of my meditation.
Have new birth depending on your
vasanas or previous experience, or you choose your birth, whether you get born in the past, because in the larger scheme of things, I've heard time has no meaning. Future, past, everything is open. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think your point is that if this world real or not, are you asking that?
No. When you talk about us taking birth in tune with our karmas or whatever, whether that birth can be in the past as we know it.
The question is not clear. I don't understand.
Never mind.
Yeah, but I think if you look at the body level or at the level of the jiva, we all have gone through multiple births. We have gone through multiple
but
births.
But if a birth that I may be deserving of can happen in the past as we know it today.
Yeah, whatever the happened in the past, again, it is whatever I deserve.
No.
Okay, sorry. That's the actual answer. Yes, from the Upanishad level, this whole world is a dream. It's nothing is real.
Exactly. That's why I wonder if a birth that you need to have for whatever reason can happen in the past, as we know it today. You know, like. Can you take birth in the 18th century?
No.
How do you know?
No, because, see, you can only act in the present. This time travel is all bunk. You cannot travel in time. You cannot go in the past. You cannot do. These are just science fiction. You can only act in the present.
No, you can only act in the present. But can you be born in the past?
No. You can only be born now.
There's only one. Time
yeah, season. Yeah. You can only be born now. You cannot say, I want to go back and be born in the 18th century. 18th century is past. You cannot become Rana Pratap or, you know,
okay.
Like that. No, you can only be born in the present, in the now. Yeah, no. This time travel is just a science fiction. Actually, time itself is a dream, but that's a different, maybe some other time we can discuss that. In reality, there is no world. There is, everything is just a dream. It's just a rope or snake upon the rope, but that is a different, that's not in this chapter, so we had discussed it in earlier chapters.
Yeah. But we always go back to saying whatever karma from your previous life is what comes here, and you choose what womb you're going to go, is what you said.
Yes.
And how is there a chance for that bad person to change when he has already developed a karma and come into?
No, but then he has the human intellect. See, we have been given the intellect. Human beings have been given the intellect, and if he reads the scriptures, if he meets with a guru,
the
environment, out of bad environment, people come out good also, you know, people can become good. So the humans have been given the choice. Obviously, see, if he has done bad karmas, he has to undergo that. The law of karma is not going to say, oh, because he wants to be good, suddenly things will become good. No, if he has done 100 bad actions, he will have 100 sufferings in this lifetime. No question about it. Not even a, but the problem is that even after that, they do more bad things and become even worse. But if you choose, that's why, see, a dog does not have a choice, or a cat does not, you might, how much ever you might love your dog, my poor dog, my little dog, dog will remain a dog. He'll never become intelligent, never become a genius. He'll never, you know, do math. So, but humans are the only ones who have the ability to improve because we have the intellect. So use the intellect and this scriptures. That's why we have the Bible and the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita. So whichever religion you are born in, you read the scriptures of that religion and improve. That is the idea. We have some books available. This Bhaj Govindam is a very nice book. There's a lot more copies in the office. It's a very practical book, very well written by Shankaracharya ji, how to improve one's life. This what we are talking in a lot more detail. So that's available here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. कश्चित् दुःख भावे ओम शांति 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 ही हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम थैंक यू